serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
What's on your to-do list? What's on the top, the easiest task or the hardest? You know, just like each of us, the church also has a to-do list. And right at the top is get God's word to the world. So what do you think? Has this task gotten harder or easier in our changing world? Well, that's what we're going to find out today on Through the Bible, as Dr. J. Vernon McGee takes us through 1 Chronicles chapter 15. So as you find your place in God's word, be encouraged by this letter from the Bible Bus. This one is from an Iraqi listener who joins us in Arabic. This young man writes, "I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior through your wonderful program. I always listen and record each episode in my notebook to review them from time to time. They have raised me up and restored hope and expectation in my life, especially in these hard times in Iraq, where there is robbery, kidnapping, suffering, and misery beyond what I could bear. I'm carried away by the waves from this fallen world, but I realized how loving God is to me. That's why I surrender all my life to Him, trusting that He can lead me into the path of righteousness and comfort. Please keep praying for peace in Iraq." What an honest and heartfelt letter that is. And praise God that He's working in Iraq. And like I always want to mention, you're invited to pray with the World Prayer Team as we travel to places like Iraq on our knees, figuratively speaking. Because every weekday, we join together in prayer for one country per day, and we cover the globe in a year. Check it out yourself at ttb.org/pray. You'll be glad you did. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, please bring godly peace, your peace, to those who love you in Iraq. This peace is available to anyone who trusts in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior. Bring your word to every country so that your word covers the earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
As we come back today to 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, verse 2, we are in this section that we have labeled in our outline as David and the Ark. Now, we have also called attention to the fact that in Chronicles, the two books of Chronicles, you have God's viewpoint, while in the books of Kings, in 1st and 2nd Samuel, you have man's viewpoint. That is, it doesn't mean that the other books are not inspired. It just means God is giving it first to you from man's viewpoint. Then He'd like for you to see His viewpoint. It's not actually a repetition, although it may seem that way in some places. Actually, what you're doing here is getting God's viewpoint, and there's always just enough of a difference to make it clear what God is emphasizing. Now, that is certainly true in this section here. Here we have these chapters, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, given over to David and the Ark. That is, of bringing the Ark up to Jerusalem to the place that David had chosen. Now, that is something that is quite interesting, by the way, because it could well be given to us some of the state business, some of the many decisions that David made, probably treaties that he made with his enemies, probably an emphasis on wars, and probably an emphasis on certain state function. It could have been given to us very much like one of the TV newscasts given to us today. You know, they give everything today that is not really important. They give the unimportant today, and we get propaganda. It's rather refreshing, I hope that you get that, to get God's viewpoint. I'd love to know God's viewpoint of the news today. And this is a book that'll help me get God's viewpoint. Where's God putting the emphasis today? Not where CBS or NBC or ABC or XYZ is putting the emphasis. Where does God put the emphasis? And it's well to have a couple of books like this, and that's what makes them important. Now, God put the emphasis on bringing the ark, this that was the very heart and center of the worship of these people, that which God had given to them. Now, there's another question arises. What had happened to the tabernacle? You want to know, my firm conviction is it worn out. After all, it was a tent, and most of it was covering, and all that apparently was worn out by now. And apparently the golden boards that were there and the brazen pillars and silver bases, they're all gone because the enemies, I guess, took those off. I guess the Philistines got them. But that wasn't the important thing. The important thing was the ark. That's where God met these people, and above the ark was the mercy seat. And that is the important thing today. The most important thing for you and for me is to have a place where we can receive mercy from God. And that's what we need today. We all need God's mercy. And God's prepared to extend mercy, but he has a mercy seat today, Christ. We're told he is the propitiation, big word, but all it means is mercy seat. He's the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, that's important to God, and it's not what you hear on TV today that's really important. And it's not the decisions made in Washington. I wouldn't belittle those, but the important decisions are God's decisions. And after all, I suppose it was pretty busy in the staff and in the palace of Napoleon in Paris. And I suppose that that was very important. But, you know, all that you got there today is a museum. They're not making many decisions today. It's not very important. And Versailles, my, how beautiful it is and how important it was. And there have been great decisions made there in the past. It's just a place, just a showcase today, something to look at. That's all that it is. It might have been well to have known what God thought was important. Now, it's important to see that God is interested in this mercy seat. Now, we saw last time that David attempted to bring the ark up the wrong way. It was the proper thing to bring the ark to Jerusalem. Not only had David chosen Jerusalem in the place, but God had chosen that place. And therefore, it's important to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. But he did it the wrong way. God had given instruction. In the book of Numbers, we saw last time that the ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the Kohathites, of the family of Levi, the priests. They were to carry the ark. And that was the way it was to be done. That ark represents Christ. That ark with the mercy seat on it speaks of the gospel today, and it's to be carried on human shoulders. It's to be carried today. And my friend, getting out the word of God today is not easy. This idea that it's sort of a picnic. A great many people think church work, that is if it's the right kind, is, you know, something very delightful. Well, the delightful part is that you're doing his will because you love him, and that always makes it a thrilling experience. But it's not easy to get out the word of God. And I would say to you today, Christian friend, if you're having it easy, something wrong. That's the most disturbing thing for any Christian, is not when trouble comes to him or the storm comes, but the most disturbing point in his life is when the storm quits blowing and there's a calm and he's feeling good and everything seems to be going right. That's the moment to watch out for, because if you're in the business of getting the Word of God out, it's something that's not very easy to do. Now, will you notice that it has to be done by God's people, and it has to be done God's way. And the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God's only blessing his Word today. And Paul went on to say, he said, they've got to hear. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. It's not foolishness. It's the wisdom of God. But that's the way that God wants it done. And there is today a sight around us. We are seeing a world today that's turned to drugs. We see the restlessness that's about us today. church having departed from the Word of God is in as much disarray as any other. Theology and the great background of both Roman Catholicism and Protestantism today is a shambles, friend. Why? Because they both got away from the Word of God. And as a result, why, they're not doing it God's way. I believe that today, friend, the most important matter is to get the ark of God on the move. That's to get the gospel going out. That's to get the Word of God moving today. And that's the important thing. Great many think it's unimportant. Now, I've spent a little time there because this is where God puts the emphasis. Now, here in chapter 15, David's going to do it the right way. And we're told here in chapter 15, I'll go back over now, verse 1 and 2. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Now, God thought that was important and not his housing project. And he had a housing project. It says he made him houses in the city of David. But the important thing that he did was he brought up the ark of God. He got a place for it. Now, David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. The question is, David, why didn't you do that at first? Why did you have to have the sad experience that you did? Well, that's the way most of us learn. It's easier to hindsight's better than foresight, they say, is the old cliche and the old bromide. Well, it's easier for me to go back in and say, David, you did it wrong. And why didn't you do it right at first? And then McGee turns right around, and the next step I take, I do it wrong. And then I have to learn that you have to do it God's way. May I say to you, that's the experience of most of us. Now, David is prepared to do it God's way. Verse 3, and David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he'd prepared for it. Do you remember in days gone by that when America faced a crisis, there was always a day of prayer called for? My friends, that belongs to the dark ages. We don't do that today. We just get together the brain trust in Washington, and they're going to solve the problem. And the only thing is, we have learned that the brain trusts were as foolish as little children in decisions they've made in the past. That is the tragedy of America in this dark hour in which we're living. Oh, my friend, today, I think it would be very important to gather all Israel together to bring up the ark of the Lord. David thought that is important, and God thought that was important, and that's what God put in Chronicles, his viewpoint. Now he gives the list of these who brought it up, sons of Kohath. Verse 12, and he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. And David had prepared a place for it. I'm not sure where that place was exactly. Was it the field at this time of Araunah, the threshing floor? I'm of the opinion that it was, but I don't want to be dogmatic about that, because later on he bought that place as being the place the temple is to be built. Now that's Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered Isaac. That same ridge that is called Mount Moriah that went right down through Jerusalem, beginning at the temple area, it went right over to where Golgotha is, and Christ was crucified on that. And so this spot, apparently, that was picked here. Now will you notice, verse 13, for because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Now David, very frankly, now confesses he blamed God at first, you will recall. He thought God was wrong in taking the life of Uzziah. Then he discovered we've done this thing wrong. You've got to do it God's way. Now he confesses that. So the priests and the Levites, this is verse 14, sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Have you noticed the repetition of that expression, the ark of God, the ark of the Lord God of Israel, the ark, the ark, the ark? Well, here it is, again and again and again. And you do get the impression that the Lord's talking about the ark, by the way. It's very important to him. Now we are told, verse 15, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. That is back as we saw in the fourth chapter of Numbers. He was not doing it God's way. Now we are told here, David was a musician, and he wanted music with all of this. And it's nice when it's the right kind of musicians and the right kind of music. And so here, he appointed the singers with the instruments of music and the psalteries and the harps and the cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. My, I tell you, they had the brass band out there that day. They had the symphony orchestra, and it was a great occasion. Now, this was the high point in David's coming into Jerusalem. It wasn't to capture the city. God doesn't record that here. And it wasn't the great building project that's emphasized. It's the emphasis upon the spiritual. That is where God is putting the emphasis, and I hope we get the message here. Now we read in verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Oh, this was a great day. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams, all of these sacrifices pointing to Christ. Verse 28, thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the cornet and with trumpets, with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. I have always, in every church I served, always wanted a big orchestra. I never did have one, my entire ministry. I guess the Lord just didn't want me to have one. But I believe that one of the reasons the church service is so dead today, and the reason that the world's passed it by, you take a look at people going to any church today and see if they look happy. See if there's joy in their life. My friend, I was looking at a newscast, and it showed the crowd at a baseball game. And I want to say, I didn't see a sad face in a lot. Even those losing didn't seem to be sad. They seemed to be having a good time. And the tragedy of the hour is, God's people don't seem to be having a good time. We ought to. Oh, I tell you, the world in that day heard about David bringing up the ark to Jerusalem. You know why? Why, the visitors that were there went throughout the then known world and said, say you should have been at Jerusalem. That was a great day, a great day. Have you noticed that there's nothing today on news? There's nothing that gets the front page today that reveals that which is spiritual and the joy of the Lord. Oh, if it's a freak sort of thing, if it's an oddball in religion, if it's some religious nut, they put him on, or put them on. But my friend, today, that which is spiritual and that which is joyful has disappeared from the life of America. And that's when we began to die, by the way. Now, not everybody was in accord with David. Verse 29, came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at the window, saw King David dancing and playing. She despised him in her heart. She says he's a religious fanatic. He is one that's showing a little interest and enthusiasm, and he's got joy in his heart in serving the Lord. Why, we need a little more of that today. And I don't mean that which is worked up psychologically by a crowd. I mean that which the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the heart and life today. It does not have to be fanaticism, but we do need that underlying river of joy flowing through the hearts and lives of God's people. That's the great message in this chapter here. Now David, in chapter 16, he brings up the ark, and let me read verse 1. So they brought the ark of God, and they set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. I think this is a remarkable passage of Scripture, by the way. They brought up the ark. It was occasion of a great joy on the part of the people. Then there was offered burnt sacrifices. Now, those of you that have been with us a long time in the Through the Bible program know that the burnt offering speaks of the person of Christ. And it's actually what God sees in Christ. The burnt offering, olam, it ascended to God. And then that peace offering. That peace offering speaks of the fact that Christ made peace by the blood of his cross. And everything is right between us and God when we come through Christ and come God's way. And now this is the great message that's given when they come up to Jerusalem, an exaltation of the person of Christ and of the fact that he shed his blood. My, here's the gospel right here. Now, David is a musician, as we said. Listen to him. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. My, we today need to get so involved in the Word of God that we do get worked up. Anyone that goes to a baseball game gets worked up, or a football game, why, they call them a fan. But you get worked up about religion, you're a fanatic. And we need today not fanatics, but we do need those to get involved in the Word of God to the place where they feel like thanking and praising the Lord God. And here, David had this organized. Asaph was the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, and then the whole list of it. My, what a group of musicians he had there. Now, we have this glorious psalm of thanksgiving here. Verse 7, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And this is one of David's psalms, and we'll get to it again for Psalm 105. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Friends, today, if we don't begin to talk about God, get his word out, and begin to get the word of God out, why, we've got today, unfortunately, many Christians that know more about the things advertised on TV than they do about the word of God. And there are preachers that know more about the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Angels than they know about the angels in the Bible, and more than they know about the Bible. Today, we have put before us in this computerized age, and we're all being pressed in a little compartment. My Christian friend today, for God's sake, get in the Word of God and find out what the liberty is in Christ. We're talking so much about freedom of speech, but who's talking about God today? There's no freedom for him today, and there's no way of getting his word out to the people. It is just mishmash today. It's just higgly-piggly stuff that's being given to the public. And no wonder a nation, and no wonder the world, is in the mess that it's in today. Now, I tell you, they're praising God back there, and God bless. Oh, we have to leave there today, but we're going to pick right up there next time this marvelous psalm and move on from there. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a great psalm of praise and testimony of God's work in his word. What Dr. McGee was urging us to do, we do together when we partner in taking his whole word to the whole world. And when we pray faithfully that God's will be done in every country of the world in sharing the good news about Jesus. Next time, we take a longer look at this psalm of David, which is recorded in Psalm 105. Read through it on your own to get your heart and your head ready. I know I'm going to do that. To go deeper in your study of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, be sure to get your copy of our ministry newsletter. This month features an excellent section on why study 1st and 2nd Chronicles, as well as a feature that focuses on Jesus in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Don't miss this extra teaching. If you don't already receive the newsletter, then you can sign up today by calling 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can always write to us as well at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325. London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1, or visit ttb.org to subscribe to our print or digital mailing list. And while you're at ttb.org, be sure to check out the free booklets section. You know, one booklet I really enjoyed recently is Dr. McGee's study on 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. It's called Gifts of the Spirit, How and Why to Use Yours. If you've ever wondered if you have a spiritual gift and how we get them, Dr. McGee will answer these questions and more. You can download Gifts of the Spirit and more than 100 of his other great digital booklets at ttb.org/booklets, and of course, they're all free. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here next time for another lesson in the life of David from 1 Chronicles.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Our journey on the Bible bus today is supported by the prayers and gifts of fellow passengers as we travel through the Bible.
Oh, come on, come on, come on! Let's celebrate Jesus tonight with that man of God, that awesome bishop of praise and worship, minister burning chapel, for the Lord is great, and he's worthy to be praised.
Well, come on, put those hands together. You know that the Lord is great. The Lord is great.
The Lord is great.
And worthy to be praised.
And worthy to be praised.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The Lord is great.
The Lord is great.
Yes, he is.
And worthy to be praised.
And I know what I'm talking about. The Lord is great.
The Lord is great.
Yes, he is.
And worthy to be praised.
Yeah. God is great.
The Lord is great.
Yes, he is. A wonderful supplier.
A wonderful supplier.
I'm gonna praise
him. I'm gonna praise
him. Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The Lord is great.
The Lord is great.
Do you believe that tonight?
I'm worth to be praised.
I know, I know, I know, I know. God is great.
The Lord is great.
Yes, he is.
Oh 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 yes, he is.
The Lord is great.
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 He's wonderful.
He's wonderful.
He's marvelous.
He's marvelous.
WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM and W260 CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Well, praise the Lord. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning into the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, we thank you all out there in Radio Land that have tuned into the broadcast. We love you. We know that you love us because you tune in to the broadcast every Tuesday. And we look for the continuation of the correspondences and the letters that you write and the call that you make for prayer. We are here for you, and we just thank the Lord for everything that he's doing through you. Today, we want to just give the Lord all the praise and honor and glory, because it is he and he alone that is responsible for what we're doing. And I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there. I want to ask the Lord's blessings to be upon you, that you will continue to keep him in your mind and your heart, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you today. Praise God. Eternal God, most holy and all wise God, the one that's able to do all things that cannot fail. I pray right now for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in Radio Land. I pray, Heavenly Father, that their hearts will be open and receptive to your word, because your word is what brings deliverance and healing and salvation. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for it. And I rebuke every thought that would try to come into the minds of God's people or anyone else that would try to hinder or cause confusion in their lives, where they would reject this word. This word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God loves you, and Lord, we thank you for your love, because your love hung there on Calvary's cross to bring forth deliverance and healing to all that will believe and trust in you. And Lord, thank you so much again. Bless the radio audience today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, we want to look at what the Word of God says today. We are not here to make ourselves feel good or to perhaps exalt ourselves. We're here to speak the word of God, to teach the word of God, however the Holy Spirit will guide and lead us. If he wants us to preach the word, it will be preached. Teach the word, glory to God, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, he is the teacher. He's a great teacher. There's no other teacher like him. And when we submit ourselves unto him and allow him to speak to our hearts, when we utter it out of our mouths, the words in which he gives us, I tell you, we can have church and be blessed of the Lord. We want to go right now into the third chapter of the book of St. John. Praise God. The third chapter, praise the Lord. We want to look at the 16th verse. And the word of God is clear concerning everything that he had in mind for us all. Praise God. Before this world was created, we were in the mind of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's where we came. We came from God. Hallelujah. A lot of folks don't realize that, but we were in the mind of God. And I want to tell you today, in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he's done for us, praise God, we can't even imagine what took place there on Calvary's cross. Most of us say, well, yeah, well, he died on Calvary's cross for all of our sins, but I want to tell you the benefits. Lord have mercy, and what he has done for us on Calvary's cross. He shed his precious blood there. He took the wrath of God for us all. Matter of fact, he never deserved to go to Calvary, but in the mind of God, it was already decided on. Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever came into existence, the Lord Jesus had been slain in the mind of God. And I want to tell you, that's a wonderful thing. He didn't wait until we got our three-piece suit on and got a Bible in our hands to go and bless us. No, we are blessed, praise God, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He never waited until we decided to go to church. Listen, he died there on Calvary's cross for all of your sins. I want you to understand that today. For all of your sins, past, present, and future sins, there's only one sacrifice, and he is it. Praise God. That's why it's so important that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. In John 3, verse 16, it says, For God so loved the world. Isn't that wonderful? I wonder, where would we be if God didn't show his love toward us? Well, I tell you, a lot of thoughts can come into our minds in terms of where we would be, but I want to deal with where we are now. Praise God. Hallelujah. God so loved the world. That's everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, what ethnic group you're part of. Listen, God loves you. And it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that is powerful. And when we begin to just for a moment look at what God has done for us, see, God gave his best. His best was Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We know that that God loved us so much until he sent his only begotten son. How many out there in radio land today that have received the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's a choice. Everyone has a choice. We make choices every day. Some choices are bad and some are good. But nevertheless, we make choices. But I want to tell you today that this kind of a choice here is the best choice that one could ever make throughout his lifestyle. Praise God. By receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever... Thank God that I'm a whosoever.
Amen.
And Minister Glory, you are a whosoever.
Praise God.
Listen, God has made it possible. He gave us all a choice. He will not force us to love him. He will not force us to serve him. We are all free moral agencies. Glory to God. And God loves us. And he gave us that choice. And when you make the choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. Praise God. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, not in the church that you attend, believe in him, that's Jesus, glory to God, you shall have everlasting life. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
That is so wonderful.
Now, that's the scripture. That's what the word of God says. And we cannot change that.
No.
There are a lot of people trying to circumvent what is going on by saying, well, you go to church and you can be saved and you do all these other things here. You can be saved. But the Bible tells us that we have to be saved God's way.
Amen.
And God's way is only through and by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Because the word of God says he's the way, the truth and the life, and no man can come to the Father except through him.
Praise God. If you're trying to get back to God, the only way is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the way. Praise God. Isn't that right? He is not a way. He is the way. The only way. He's the only truth. And the only life. Eternal life. Glory to God. And if you want to come back to him, glory to God, he has made preparation to sending forth his son. Believe what he said.
Amen.
And you will have eternal life. Praise God. Minister Glory, would you read that next verse?
It says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
You see, the world was already condemned. And there are folks out there that are condemned now. The world lies in sin. And the Bible tells us that. Because Romans 3 and verse 23, Apostle Paul was saying that all have sinned. That means everybody. Everybody has sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My Lord, my Lord. But God knew after the fall of mankind that he would have to send his son in order to redeem us back to him who would ever believe and receive his son Jesus. Praise God. So God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's the only way we can get saved. A lot of people have their own ways of trying to come to God. Some people, they're doing things, they're worshiping other idols and so forth, but you can't get to God that way. The only way is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, look at what the scripture says. God's divine purpose was not to condemn the world, because the world already was in sin. He sent Jesus not in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the opportunity that you and all of us have, that if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, then we will have eternal life. Don't you want eternal life? Praise God. I'm speaking to a lot of people out there, some folks that are saved and others that are not saved. But I just want to tell you that the Word speaks for itself. The Word is able to do what it's supposed to do, and that is to offer everyone that would believe eternal life. Isn't that wonderful, Minister?
Yes, it is.
I tell you,
mm-hmm.
It is so powerful. But so many people today are caught up in religion. They're trying to do this thing themselves instead of just opening up their heart and receive this gift. Now, Jesus was a gift.
It's a gift.
A gift to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Has nothing to do with what church you go to or what denomination you're part of. Listen, you can be in different denominations and still not saved or born again, perhaps. You know, when we look at the scriptures there, if we go back into preceding verses there, we'll see that Nicodemus, for a moment here, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night. And he saw something. He said, oh, no, said, this man, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. So Jesus had to speak to him. And I want to tell you today that all we have to do as children of God, and even folks that don't even know God, you right where you are, you can repent of your sins. You don't have to be in some building. You don't have to have somebody to come and try to coach you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. All you need is to think about what he has done for you. And when you can believe what Jesus has done for you, the Holy Spirit is right there. Praise God.
Amen.
The moment that you sincerely believe through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit came into this world to convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Praise God. We all that have believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit did that work. It's not anything that we've done. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for bringing forth deliverance. We made the choice. We made the decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
As Lord and Savior of our lives. No one forced us. I thought about all the things that God had done. and that he took my place there on the cross of Calvary. He took my place. He didn't deserve to be there. But in the mind of God, he was the lamb that was slain for you and I. Praise God. I said in the mind of God. That's why in the council, it was already decided. Praise God. The council of God. Let me clarify that. Praise the Lord. So what happened is that Jesus had to tell Nicodemus that he had to be born again. Mm-hmm. And so forth. I don't want to get into that because we talked about that in terms of him being a ruler of the Jews and so forth. But the thing of it is that in the 16th and 17th verse here, the scriptures are clear concerning that you have a choice. God sent his son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God. That the world through him might be saved. Now, that's the love of God.
That's the love of God.
He didn't wait until you got dressed up and all these other things. What he did is that he just sent Jesus.
Amen.
Matter of fact, in Romans, the 8th chapter, Minister of Glory, would you, if you can get there, Romans, the 8th, I think it's 5 verse 8. Yeah.
Romans 8, 5.
5 verse 8, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where it says,
in Romans, the 8th chapter. Praise. Fifth chapter.
Fifth chapter, eighth verse.
Verse 8.
Amen. Praise God. Mm-hmm. It says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Now that's clear, isn't it? Right?
Very clear. That's how much love he had for us.
While we were yet sinners.
Mm-hmm.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God demonstrated his love toward us. That's what he did by sending his son Jesus to die for our sin. Now that's powerful. That's very powerful. He didn't wait until you decide to get right and say, well, now I'm able, I'll receive Jesus. No, he did it while you were out there in the clubs, while you were doing all these other things here. Listen, Christ died for you. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. Continue. It says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Amen. Be saved from wrath through him. God loves us
mm-hmm.
so much.
Yes.
And that's why he said there back in John 3 and verse 16, 17, praise God, that the world was already condemned. He sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's very important there that we understand that. And many people today are looking for something else. But I want to tell you, Jesus is the only way. And this is why we lift him up. Praise God. We lift him up. In St. John 12 and verse 32, in that vicinity, well, the word of God tells us through what Jesus said, if he be lifted up. And if I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me.
Praise God.
And he was speaking of his death. So let me tell you something out there in Radio Land. He has died already. We're just talking about something that took place 2,000 years ago. But the life goes on. The love goes on. He is the love that keeps on giving. He will save you if you believe and trust in him. And take him at his word. Now, let me explain something to you. In the 17th verse, it said, God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world,
mm-hmm.
but that the world through him might be saved. Now, let's look at the next verse there behind it.
Yes. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
So you understand what is happening. He that believe on him is not condemned. So there are a lot of condemned people that are walking around out there in Radio Land and wherever else it is that don't believe in him, mm-hmm. you're condemned. Mm-hmm. I call it dead man walking. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be in that lifestyle. You don't have to be a dead man walking. Now, the scripture doesn't say dead man walking. It just says that you're condemned already if you don't believe in. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, If you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and if you don't have him, you can have him at this very moment, because all preparation has been made if you only believe what God has done by sending forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him. Praise God. There are a lot of whosoever, but you have to make the right decision. Praise God. And that right decision is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life.
Amen. Minister,
you have something you want to praise the Lord? Because I tell you, he that has the Son has life. I want to say that. He that has the Son of God has life. And he that have not the Son of God have not life. Jesus is life.
Amen.
Praise God. And so many folks today, they are walking around, they're keeping whatever it is, they feel that they have their own salvation. They're able to save themselves. But I want to tell you, that's an exercise of futility. You cannot save yourself. God knew that. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die for your sins. Can you imagine for a moment? Jesus took the wrath of God for you. I want to let that sink in. He took the wrath of God for you. Praise God. Jesus is that gift.
Yes.
Matter of fact, in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, to validate that, it says that we're all like sheep that have gone astray, every man to his own way. But the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord laid the iniquities of us all on him, on Jesus. My God, when we hear something like that, Minister Glory, read it, I tell you, we need to just take notice for a moment that, listen, that the God that we serve is a good God,
yes,
and he loves us all.
Mm-hmm.
He won't force you to come and serve him or try to do whatever it is you think is necessary. He sent his son, Jesus.
Amen.
And he that has the Son have life.
That's right.
Amen.
Praise God.
And he that have not the Son of God have not life. See, and the wrath of God is on. The whole idea is that we offered the extended salvation because Jesus is a gift to humanity. That's why he is a gift. You don't earn this gift. He's the gift of God. So you don't earn it. All God wants you to do is to receive him, but he won't force you to receive him. You can sit in church and clap your hands and sing songs and do all these religious calisthenics, but let me tell you something. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then you are on the wrong road. Let me tell you, you're on the wrong road. Get on the right road. Open up your heart and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not speaking of being religious. There are a lot of people that are religious. And Jesus gave us a clear illustration there in Matthew 7 and verse 21 and thereafter. Praise God. He told us a lot of things. Now, Jesus was speaking there. And this is why we want to tell you, we love you. I love you. I never met you, but I love you with the love of the Lord. And I want you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my desire. Praise God. And I pray to God that you would link up with this desire that I have, that you would receive Christ. Don't just be in a building singing songs, clapping your hands, and going through all kind of religious things here and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ loves you. He's not going to force himself on you. This is a choice that you make as an individual, or perhaps as one that have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and open up your heart that your life would be changed.
Right.
Mr. Bowen, you have something?
Yes, so 2 Peter 3 and 9, it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Told us what, not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want any to perish, but that all should come to repentance, come to know him, so you can go back with him. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. To know him, to have an intimate relationship with him. Praise God. And Matthew 7, Jesus was speaking there, and these folks were talking about what the things that they've done. That they were religious, mm-hmm. but they had no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture doesn't say it, but I'll say this much in terms of they were saying that, look at what we've done. We've mm-hmm. prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, see, Jesus has the last word.
That's right.
And that word, praise God, is either depart from me, you that worketh the iniquities, mm-hmm. I never knew you.
Oh,
that's one of the last words that he would have.
Yes.
For mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you stand before God Almighty and he would say, if you've been obedient, he say, well done,
yes.
thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you rulers over many.
Hallelujah.
Enter into the joy of the Lord. So the whole idea is that we are not trying to just frighten anyone or tell you, well, listen, you're going to hell if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that is true, but we're not trying to force you to do it. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? This is a choice that you make. And what we do, praise God, as a child of God, trying to reach the populace to let you know that there is a divine plan. And that plan of salvation was sent to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from the Father. And Minister Gloria, what it tells us in Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10, mm-hmm. praise God, this isn't an invitation.
Exactly.
You can have this.
Yes.
You don't have to struggle with it. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born again, that's one thing. But if you don't know the Lord, and I'm quite sure there are many people that tune into this broadcast, listening to the music, but they have not received Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the doorway into eternal life.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in Jesus' name.
Praise God. And the word of God tells us that we are all children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I thank you all for tuning into the broadcast, whomever you are and wherever you are. I just want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves you. He came into this world not to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. God bless you all until the next broadcast. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.